Good morning. On Sunday, the 7th of November 2021, our readings for today are from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 24 to 28, and Mark chapter 12, verses 38 to 44. And I want to start in Hebrews chapter 9, and because it's such a short reading, let me read it for you. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. And I just want to stop there because I don't really need to say an awful lot more on that other than just explain. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands. Again, it's coming at the end of Hebrews talking about Jesus as being our great high priest. And so he doesn't enter into a man-made temple, a man-made holy of holies. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true. Everything that we have here on earth, as far as faith, religion, Christianity, even Judaism, all of those things that we use and that the Jews used and we now use are copies of the real thing. You know, the Jews worshipped in the temple. We worship in churches, churches built by hands. But we're not meant to worship in buildings like that. We are meant to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. And we worship him from who we are because our bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit wherein he dwells. But Hebrews 9:24 says, for Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself. So Jesus Christ is in heaven right now. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Wow! He is our great high priest and he is in heaven with the Father, with God himself. But he hasn't done it just to be back with the Father. But he's done it for us. Verse 25. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. And so, it's given a comparison here. Jesus doesn't have to enter into heaven every year because the high priest in Judaism has to enter the holy place, the most holy place every year. Every year he has to offer sacrifices, but Jesus doesn't. So verse 25, not that he should offer himself often as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then, and again talking about Jesus, he then would have had to suffer often. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. Jesus would have been offering himself again and again and again if he was like the normal earthly high priest, but he's not. But he's not. He then, verse 26, would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That is fantastic. Jesus has put away sin by the perfect sacrifice that he has made of himself upon the cross. And those are my words. And it continues on in verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment. And here we go again. Here's another comparison. Verse 27. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. So let me read all that up to the end of verse 27 from verse 24. For Christ has not entered the holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true, but into heaven itself, now to prepare in the presence of God for us. Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters the most holy place every year with blood of another. He then would have had to suffer often since the foundation of the world. But now, once at the end of the ages, he has appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. And then listen to what it says to the end of verse 28. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. And in a way, whenever I first read this, I nearly wanted to start at the end of this reading and, as it were, work my way backwards. Because what it says in verses 27 and 28, or the first part, all of verse 27 and the first part of verse 28, and as it is appointed for men to die once, but after this the judgment, so Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. Now the reason why I read it like that is because the many, as in offered once to bear the sins of many, that's who the to those refers to. So Christ was offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time apart from sin for salvation. And my question to you who listen to this, are you part of the many who are eagerly waiting for him to appear the second time? Because it's talking about the second coming of Jesus. And when he appears, it'll not be because of sin. It'll be apart from sin because sin's been paid for. Jesus paid for it. And as he entered into heaven in his body, he also with his blood laid his blood on the mercy seat as an atonement for our sin and all sin, past, present and future tense sin. But Jesus is going to come back again for salvation to save those who are waiting for him, to save those who are trusting in him and believing in him. Now I want to turn a moment and read a bit of Mark chapter 12. And our reading for today was Mark chapter 12 verses 38 to 44. And what it says, there's two parts. The first part talks about beware of the scribes, and the second part is the widow's two mites. But the first part says this, this is verse 38. Then he said to them in his teaching, beware of the scribes who desire to go around in long robes, love greetings in the marketplaces, the best seats in the synagogues, and the best places at feasts, who devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayers. These will receive greater condemnation. And we may not know people exactly like that, but if you think about it, there are people that you probably do know like that. People who boast and promote themselves and don't worry about who they walk over or who they knock out of the way as they're coming along. And people who, you know, pray long prayers. You know, there are prayers that Jesus made that were very short. He got up in the boat whenever the wind and the waves were threatening to sink the boat, and he said, peace, be still. Three words. That was a prayer. Peace, be still. He didn't pray long prayers. We only have to read in Matthew 6 where it talks about prayer, and Jesus says, hypocrites love to pray. And so as we read this part of Mark chapter 12, just think about what's being said. But the bit that I want to emphasize, and in relation to the Hebrews 9 about Jesus coming back, is what it says from verse 41. Now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury, and many who were rich put in much. Then one poor widow came and threw in two mites, which make a quadrants. So he called his disciples to himself and said to them, "Assuredly I say to you, that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood." And the reason why I believe that this is important in connection with Hebrews chapter 9 is that this woman gave her all. There were people who went and they gave, as Jesus said, out of their abundance. They gave out of what they had, and they still had plenty left over. And it's not that what they gave was wrong, but this woman gave everything. She already had nothing. But the dregs of what was left, she gave unto the Lord. How sold out for Jesus are you? Are you eagerly waiting for him to appear the second time? You know, we're in the season of the church coming into Advent, where we look forward to Jesus coming, being born into the world, but we also look forward to him coming back. And are we those who are eagerly expecting him to come back? Do we trust in him? Do we know him? Do we love him? Do we spend time with him? Have we received him as our Lord and Savior? Is he our God? And do we follow him? Or are we just involved with him along with so many other things? And the other things, that's our game. That's what we want to do. And it's got absolutely nothing to do with God. Now, the reason why I say that is because many of us can be involved in other things, but the other things are to do with following Jesus. The other things are things for the kingdom of God, because in essence, everything that we do is for Jesus. And by Jesus' guidance and the leading of his hand for the furtherment of the kingdom, for the extension of the kingdom of God. Because we want to see more and more people have the opportunity to come to Jesus and to be ready to receive him whenever he comes, that he indeed will receive us, because we're waiting expectantly for him. And so Jesus, in the Gospel of Mark, saw this woman give her all. She was someone who appeared in poverty, but she gave even out of her poverty. Is there anything you're holding back from Jesus? Or are you giving him your all? Or do you have the attitude of, well, he can have this, but the rest is mine? I trust and I pray that you will give Jesus your all. Because after all, Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus gave himself for us. Verse 25 of Hebrews 9 says, "Not that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters, but he offered himself once." Once. He gave of himself for us. He died on the cross for us. He is our great high priest. How can we? How can we give him anything less than all of ourselves? Are you eagerly waiting for him to appear a second time for salvation? Or have you forgotten him? Hopefully, you're waiting for him a second time. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.